Welcome to the Divergent Files podcast. There is a controversial group of engineers, independent researchers, and outsiders who think we may have misunderstood the cosmos from the very beginning. Because according to a theory called the electric universe, gravity may not be running as much of the cosmic show as we think. Do you ever think about how insane it is that human civilization depends on the sun behaving itself for just one more day? One bad solar storm and modern life starts getting fragile real fast. That's not conspiracy stuff. NASA and NOAA track this constantly because near-Earth space is not passive. It is quite violent. Electrical, alive with charged particles and magnetic fields moving around us every second. Space does not really behave like the quiet vacuum most of us were taught about in school. It behaves more like a system, a charged one. Electricity may be doing more. The strange part is that real space is already full of electricity, plasma, magnetic fields, and charged particles. So before we laugh this out of the room, we need to ask, what if space is not just empty? What if it is already carrying the charge? The universe does not always behave as neatly as the model says it should. The galaxies spin too fast. Galaxy clusters hold together in ways the visible matter cannot explain. The expansion of the universe is speeding up, and science gave the missing pieces names: dark matter, dark energy, inflation. Now, to be clear, those are not stupid ideas. They come from real math, but they are also invisible answers to a universe that keeps refusing to balance the books. And that is where the electric universe crowd walks in. They are saying electricity may be one of the main architects of the cosmos. But if they are even partly right, then modern cosmology may have spent the last 100 years building a mansion on top of a missing wire. The strange part is what electric universe supporters believe that electricity is doing. Most of the ordinary matter we observe in space is plasma. It is matter charged up enough that electrons start breaking away from atoms. The sun is plasma. Plasma reacts to electric fields and magnetic fields. And plasma does not always behave like a smooth fog. It can organize, form strands, twist along magnetic fields. It could pinch inward and glow. And under the right conditions, it can discharge. If you ever watched lightning crawl across the sky, you already know the basic shape. Now, let's make the system even bigger, like much bigger. That is where the electric universe people come in. They argue the universe is not just objects falling toward each other through gravity. To them, far more of what we see out there may be current moving through plasma. In that reading, stars become glowing nodes. Galaxies start looking like circuits. Filaments start looking like wires. And comets become charged bodies moving through an electrical environment. This is somebody walking into the cathedral, pointing to the floor and saying, "Well, I think the foundation is totally wrong." First, what we know. Plasma exists in space. Electromagnetic fields exist in space. Charged particles move through space. That part is not fringe. But what Electric Universe claims is that these forces do not just decorate the universe, they help build it, maybe even dominate parts of it. And the mainstream response to that? Gravity is still king until something beats it with math. Mainstream science says electromagnetism matters deeply in plasma environments. Electric Universe says, no, it scales much further than you think, up to stars, to galaxies, to the cosmic web itself. And that leaves us with the ugly question. How much of the universe have we been calling gravity when Electric Universe supporters say we may be looking at circuitry? The easiest way to dismiss Electric Universe is to pretend it starts with made-up science, but it doesn't. That does not mean the full theory is true, but the ingredients, those are real. Plasma is real. Charged particles, magnetic fields, solar wind. In space weather, which sounds like something a bored meteorologist made up after lunch, can actually damage things we depend on. The sun is constantly releasing charged particles into space. That stream is called solar wind. And Earth is not just sitting there naked, getting blasted like an idiot. Thankfully, Earth has a magnetosphere, a magnetic shield. It wraps around the planet and helps deflect a lot of that charged material. But near the poles, some of those particles get guided down into the upper atmosphere. That is where the auroras come from. Well, they're beautiful, yes. They're high on my bucket list to see. But they are also evidence. Charged particles from the sun interacting with Earth's magnetic field and atmosphere. Near Earth, the sky is already electrical. And this is where we need to name somebody most people have never heard of. Hans Alfvén. Alfvén won the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1970 for work tied to magnetohydrodynamics. My goodness, awful word. But in normal words, how electrically conducting fluids like plasma move through magnetic fields. So when people act like plasma in space is just some fringe hobby for guys who own too many flashlights, that's just not true. One of the roots of this conversation runs through a Nobel Prize. And then there are Birkeland currents. They are electrical currents that flow along magnetic field lines, not literal wires, but pathways linking Earth's magnetosphere to the upper atmosphere. And any system that depends on satellites, radio, GPS, navigation, or communications has to care about space weather. Nobody serious treats plasma like a joke. If all of that is real near Earth, why are we so certain it becomes less important when we zoom out? If plasma is real, if currents are real, if the sun and Earth are already linked by charged particles, magnetic fields, and currents, then what exactly is the sun? Is it a nuclear furnace, an electrical machine, or something stranger? So now we get to the object at the center of the whole damn neighborhood, the sun. Because to them, the sun is not only a giant nuclear furnace, it is a plasma body wrapped in magnetic fields, releasing charged particles into space, cracking open with flares, launching storms, strong enough to disturb Earth's magnetic shield and make our power grid sweat. And we are not just guessing from old telescope images anymore. NASA's Parker Solar Probe actually flew through the sun's corona. It sampled particles and magnetic fields inside the sun's outer atmosphere. We built a machine centered toward the sun, and it radioed back data from a place no spacecraft had ever sampled before. The mainstream model says the sun is powered by nuclear fusion at its core. Hydrogen atoms fuse into helium. Energy moves outward. Light reaches us. Life gets to keep doing its little tap dance for one more day. Solar neutrinos are one of the big receipts. They are produced during nuclear fusion in the sun, and they give scientists a direct clue about what is happening in the core. But then the sun starts doing things that feel less like a peaceful ball of heat, and more like something under magnetic and electrical stress. Solar flares erupt from its surface. Coronal mass ejections hurl 1/1,000,000,000 of tons of plasma and magnetic field into space. Magnetic loops rise off the sun like glowing ropes. Sunspots appear as dark scars where intense magnetic fields twist through the surface. And the corona, the sun's outer atmosphere, is much hotter than the visible surface below it. And that has bothered scientists for a very long time. There are mainstream explanations like magnetic waves, magnetic reconnection, energy moving through the outer atmosphere in ways scientists are still working through. And fair enough. But listen to what we are actually describing. A plasma sphere wrapped in magnetic fields, launching charged particles, producing loops, arcs, storms, and sudden bursts of energy. At some point, even if you reject the electrical sun idea, you still have to admit something. The sun acts, well, electrical. From here, the claim splits into two piles. Documented fact, which is the sun is plasma, it has magnetic fields, it produces solar wind, and solar storms can reach Earth. Geomagnetic storms can disrupt satellites, radio, GPS, and power systems. Then we have the electrical universe claim, which is the sun may be connected to a larger electrical circuit, maybe even powered, at least partially, from outside itself. That is the giant leap. But here's the thing. Even if the sun is powered by fusion, that does not make it a simple campfire in space. because when the sun gets angry, it does not stay up there politely minding its business. In 1859, the Carrington event hit Earth so hard that telegraph systems sparked, operators got shocked, and some lines kept working even after being disconnected from their batteries. The wires kept talking after the power was cut, because the storm itself had charged the system. Then in 1989, a geomagnetic storm hit Quebec. Within 90 seconds, Hydro-Quebec's grid went down. 6 million people lost power, not because of a bomb or a cyber attack, because the sky put the current into the system. So no, the sun is not just a yellow circle children draw on the corner of a page. It is a violent plasma machine sitting close enough to feed us and close enough to break us. Because if the Sun-Earth system is more electrically connected than most of us were taught, then Earth is not just orbiting a star. It is living inside that star's electrical weather. You have to ask what happens when the current spikes. Comets are where this theory starts getting uncomfortable. Because for a long time, the classroom version was simple. Comets were dirty snowballs. Ice, dust, frozen gas. They drift near the sun, heat up, release gas and dust, and grow a glowing tail. Because when we finally started sending spacecraft to look at comets up close, some of them did not look like bright balls of ice. They looked dark, rugged, dust-covered, scarred, like something that had been through hell and kept the receipts. And that is where the Electric Universe people leaned forward, because they had been saying comets were not just frozen leftovers warming in sunlight. They said comets were electrically active bodies moving through the sun's charged environment. Now, mainstream comet science has answers for a lot of this, like dust, ice under the surface, gas vents, solar heating, outgassing, chemical reactions. And to be fair, the mainstream model has evolved. Scientists do not talk about comets today like they did in the 1950s. They know these objects are messy, complex, and strange. The Electric Universe crowd saw the opening. Their response is basically, wait, why does this look less like melting ice and more like electrical stress? An ion tail is made of charged particles. It points away from the sun because it is carried by the solar wind and shaped by magnetic fields. Mainstream science says, well, yes, charged particles are involved. That is normal comet physics. But the Electric Universe crowd says, exactly, you just said the quiet part out loud. Let's take comet 67P. Rosetta caught it releasing water vapor when it was still about 583 million kilometers from the sun. That is not exactly sitting on a Florida sidewalk in July. And when Rosetta finally got close, it did not find some clean glowing ice ball. It found a dark rubber duck-shaped world covered in cliffs, pits, fractures, dust, boulders, and jets firing into space. It was reacting to the sun, like a body under pressure. Mainstream scientists can explain much of that with normal comet activity. But Electric Universe supporters look at the same images and see something else. They see a charged body under stress, a rock moving through an electric field. Electric Universe supporters are not just arguing about frozen rocks. They are asking whether the same electrical behavior shows up at every scale, and maybe across the whole web of galaxies. Comets are strange, sure. The sun is violent, sure. But when Electric Universe supporters look at the largest structures in space, they see something that bothers them even more. They see a web. Galaxies do not appear to be scattered randomly across the universe like someone spilled salt on a black table. They gather into clusters. Those clusters connect into filaments. The filaments stretch across distances so large they make human language sound stupid. Between them are voids, huge, undercrowded regions. So the universe, at the largest scales we can map, looks less like a random spread of matter and more like something nervous. Now, mainstream cosmology has an answer for that too. They say gravity, dark matter, expansion, and dark energy. The early universe had tiny differences in density. Gravity pulled matter together over time. Dark matter helped form the hidden skeleton. Normal matter followed. Galaxies formed along those strands, and that's the official picture. In the standard model, normal matter, the stuff that makes stars, planets, trees, bones, coffee, and your annoying neighbor's leaf blower, is only about 5% of the universe. Five. About 27% is dark matter, and 68% is dark energy. So yes, the model works, but it works while admitting most of the universe is something we still know, mainly by its effects. Dark matter has not been directly seen the way we see ordinary matter. Dark energy is not some glowing fuel tank floating out there. It is the name we gave to a real expansion problem. That does not make dark matter fake or dark energy fake, but it does mean the standard model depends on invisible pieces doing a lot of heavy lifting. And that is where the weird guy in the back raises his hand. The Electric Universe crowd says, wait a second. Space is full of plasma. Plasma can form filaments. Magnetic fields can shape where charged particles go. Currents can move through plasma. So why the heck are we so sure the web is only gravity? And the question has teeth because the universe keeps showing us structures that look almost too organized, like spiral galaxies with arms that hold together, jets blasting out from active galaxies across stupid distances, magnetic fields threading through space, filaments connecting clusters like glowing scars across the dark. So maybe mainstream science is right. Maybe gravity built the web. Dark matter holds it together, whatever dark matter is. And electromagnetism is just one of the workers on the job site. Fine. But maybe the Electric Universe people are pointing at something we undercounted. Because when your model needs invisible matter and invisible energy to stay standing, the strange guy asking about ordinary plasma deserves at least 1 minute before we throw him out of the building. Because if plasma organizes into filaments near Earth and around the sun and across galaxies, then maybe in the Electric Universe reading, the web is not just where matter ended up. Maybe the web is part of the machine. And if that is true, then the question changes. Not why is matter arranged this way, but instead, what is moving through it? Before the Electric Universe had YouTube channels, conference talks, and guys arguing about plasma in comment sections like it was a blood sport, there was Immanuel Velikovsky. And Velikovsky is a problem. Some of his claims are rejected for good reasons. But he asked a question that still makes people uncomfortable. He asked, what if ancient myths were not just stories? What if some of them were damaged memories of something real in the sky? In 1950, Velikovsky published Worlds in Collision. The basic idea was wild. He argued that ancient cultures around the world recorded real planetary disasters. Venus as a violent intruder. Mars passing dangerously close to Earth. Planets moving in ways modern astronomy says should not have happened in recorded human history. Velikovsky's specific mechanics are widely rejected. The timelines do not fit. The orbital claims do not work under accepted physics. The Venus claims especially are a major problem. Fair, I get that. But the strange part is not just that scientists disagreed with him. Scientists disagree all the time. The strange part is the heat, the anger, the way his book became radioactive. Because Velikovsky was not just making an astronomy claim. He was messing with a clean little wall we built between myth and memory. On one side of it, there's science. On the other side, ancient people telling stories about gods, dragons, sky battles, world fires, great floods, radiant disks, cosmic wheels, thunderbolts, and serpents in the heavens. Nice little myths. Put them in a museum. Keep them away from the telescope. Velikovsky said, wait a second, hang on. What if they were describing something? Not like scientists, like survivors. Like people trying to explain a sky that had gone insane. And that is the part later Electric Universe thinkers grabbed onto. David Talbot and others did not just read ancient myth as religion. They saw pattern. Thunderbolt gods across cultures. Battles in the heavens. Serpents in the sky. Ages ending. Planets and gods carrying the same names, weapons, colors, and terror. And there is one more name worth mentioning here. Anthony Perrot, a plasma physicist, not a mythology blogger. Perrot argued that some ancient rock carvings resembled shapes produced in high current plasma experiments and simulations. especially Z-pinch forms. Now, in plain English, plasma squeezed by magnetic forces until it forms strange repeating shapes. That does not prove ancient people saw cosmic plasma events, but it does mean the myths looked electrical argument did not stay trapped in folklore. They weren't just dribbling on a rock and imagining all this. At least part of it wandered into technical plasma literature. And that is where the story gets harder to laugh off, because humans preserve trauma in stories. Families do it. Nations do it. Civilizations do it. So if something terrible did happen in the sky, how would ancient people thousands of years ago record it? They would not write equations. They would carve symbols, build rituals, tell stories about gods fighting above their heads. Maybe some of those sky images were not just poetic or nonsense. Maybe some looked like plasma or radiant disks and serpents, thunderbolts. Forms that to them looked less like imagination and more like electrical events witnessed at terrifying scale. Maybe Velikovsky got the mechanics wrong, but that does not mean he was staring at nothing. Because sometimes the map is wrong and the crime scene is still very real. And this is where the pattern starts to repeat. Velikovsky gets laughed out of the room. Electric Universe gets laughed out of the room. Plasma cosmology, alternatives, get pushed to the edges. And to be clear, Electric Universe does have problems, big ones. The math is not strong enough to replace standard cosmology. It struggles with the cosmic microwave background. The cosmic microwave background is one of the main pillars of Big Bang cosmology. Ancient light from roughly 380,000 years after the Big Bang, carrying traces of the seeds that later became stars and galaxies. If Electric Universe cannot answer that cleanly, it has a real problem. It does not beat general relativity at scale. And some supporters overclaim so hard, they make the useful questions look ridiculous. But science is still human. We're still learning. Science is trial and error. Careers are built on models. Grants follow models. Textbooks teach models. Sometimes an idea is rejected because it is wrong. Other times, the reaction gets louder because accepting even one small piece would make too many smart people uncomfortable. So here's where I land before we close this thing. Plasma is real. Space is electrically active. The sun and Earth are connected through charged particles and magnetic fields. Comets are stranger than the old public story made them sound. Galaxies do form a giant web. And modern cosmology does depend on things we still cannot exactly grab with both hands. So that part holds up. But the full Electric Universe theory, that does not get the throne. Not yet, at least. The electric sun does not beat the fusion model. And mainstream science is hiding everything is usually too clean, too easy, too internet. But here's what still bothers me. The universe is more electric than most of us were taught. Plasma keeps showing up at every scale. And they keep getting laughed out of the room before most people even understand what was being said. And maybe that's the real story here. Not that Electric Universe proved everything, because they didn't, but that it may be wrong in places and still pointing at something we were trained to look past. I'm Ralph, this is Divergent Files, and I appreciate you. Until next time, stay curious, stay sharp, and remember, no matter what they say, the truth is still out there. These investigations are powered by those who believe truth still matters. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. Join the mission at patreon.com/divergentfiles.